Is there anybody here? I think I know most people. Anybody called Robert or Lauren? Thank you. This is a love letter. Dearest Lauren, I'm so sorry for the things I've said. I've been unable to sleep since I broke off our relationship last month. I think about you day and night. Your absence is breaking my heart. And recently I've come to realise that nobody can take your place. Sweetheart, I miss you so much. Please call me. I am missing you so much. All my love, Robert. P.S. Congratulations on winning the Euro Millions jackpot on Tuesday. I know it's a bit cynical, but let's face it, how many people write letters today, especially love letters? Not many, I would imagine. Letter writing seems to be becoming a thing of the past. I think we all remember we were of an age of Basildon Bond, fountain pens and quink ink. Letter writing was an art form taught at school and carried on throughout life, a way of communicating news perhaps about your life, your family, the weather, you name it, and it would be included. You got to know all the news about what was happening, in particular in the family. Now, this is a letter. I'll read it if you wish me to. It's from me to my mother, written 52 years ago. I found it shortly after she died. It was in with all the stuff. I'll read it. It's a bit brief, but I'm from Wales. I don't know if people realise that. We don't call our mothers mum, we call them mam. So it starts off, dear mam, received your letter today, in brackets Wednesday. Glad to hear things seem a bit brighter for Auntie Rhoda. Hope all goes well at the hospital on Friday. Dad seems pleased that Auntie Rhoda wants to see him. Pauline will be getting his ticket for him. She's in Blackpool, is my mother. Ticket for him. I was surprised to find you gone on Saturday when I got home from Leeds. Dad seems to be coping even though he worries over what to put in my sandwiches. Lona, that's my sister, came over on Sunday to make dinner. She also let Bernard, that's my brother, know. I hope Auntie Renee is back on the mend. But the coincidence is that I seem to have strained my back again. Pauline sends her love to you all. Your ever-loving son, John. So I think that was written in 1965. And strange, I took a funeral on Friday where the husband of the lady who died gave me a letter that she'd written when she was 17 to her mum and dad. She'd gone to Jersey with a friend to work at 17. And it got a laugh at the funeral because she asked the mum and dad to send her boots and panty girdle over to Jersey. And it reminds me of a letter that was written in the Second World War by a father to a son, which carries these words: your mother's had all the teeth out and a gas oven put in. One of the rewards of letter writing is the expectation of receiving a reply and catching up on the news. Even today with instant news and emails, there's nothing quite like opening a letter and perhaps, like this one, keeping it as a memory, written at a time of significance in your life by someone or to someone, perhaps who is no longer with us. It's an act of remembrance and connecting. The one thing that is common in any regular correspondence is two words, and those are thank you. And that is the theme of today's gospel reading, thankfulness. But more of that later. First, a bit of background to this miracle story. 10 lepers travelling together, 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan. A strange mix, and not hard to pick the odd man out. To be a Samaritan in Jesus' time would have been bad enough, but to be a leper as well would have been a double whammy. As far as the Jews were concerned, the Samaritans were a race apart, foreigners to be avoided. Yet here they are, travelling as one group, Jews and Samaritan, drawn together by the dreadful skin disease of leprosy, making them all outcasts. Now, the Old Testament book of Leviticus tells us that they were forbidden, those with leprosy, to approach other people. And to prevent contact, they were required to call out, "Unclean, unclean." And that's why they stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Have pity on us." They didn't specifically ask for healing, but they were desperate. They cried out. And perhaps that's something we would do if we found ourselves in such a situation. We cry out to God. "Help us, God, you know our needs." And in doing so, we're just like those lepers, believing that him who we cry out to in our hour of need hears us. And that's called faith. Those 10 lepers would have heard about Jesus and his healing miracles. And in shouting out to him, he would not only hear them, but have pity on them. And they would be healed. I think it's worth noting that what they didn't do was kneel down in silent prayer. And let's face it, why would they? Jesus was in front of them, albeit at a distance. No, they shouted, they cried out. And if we read the Psalms, you see God's people crying out to him, being explicit with him, not just crying out, but saying, "Why, Lord? Why?" Now, the gospel doesn't tell us Jesus actually heard their cries, only that when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And that response may seem a bit strange. And perhaps if we didn't know better, we may be thinking he didn't want to go near them for fear that he may be contaminated with leprosy. But definitely not. First, he needed to hear their cries. First, he didn't need to hear their cries. He already knew. And secondly, and this is the important bit, he wanted them to have faith. He wanted them to obey what he was saying to them. And they did. And as they went, they were cleansed. The important three words is, as they went, they were cleansed. Not as they got there, they were cleansed. As they went. They didn't get to the priest. They were cleansed before they get there. We started off by saying Jesus was on the border of Samaria and Galilee. That's way up north. And to get to Jerusalem where they were going, where they would have had to go to the temple in Jerusalem, could have been a 2 or 3 day journey. They were cleansed before they got there. They were healed. And healed at a distance. They'd set off, and Jesus said, "You'll be cleansed," and they were. There was no healing touch, no anointing with oils. They were simply being obedient to God's call through Jesus, who interceded for them. And they were healed of the body of leprosy on the way to see the priest. But then, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God and in a loud voice. Not at distance like before, because this time, this one threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And here we have the odd man out, the Samaritan. He would not have gone anywhere near the temple where the Jewish priests were, possibly in Jerusalem. For his temple would have been in Samaria. And it's possible he never even got that far. Because when he saw he was healed, he came back. It's as if he obeyed Jesus, set off walking to his temple, saw he was cleansed, turned round, came back. And like the Jewish lepers, he was cleansed before he even got to the temple. But unlike the rest of the healed lepers, the Samaritan continued to be different. He came back praising God and thanked Jesus. Praising God, thanking Jesus. Praising God, thanking Jesus. Note the difference. Praising God, thanking Jesus. He was acknowledging God for his healing powers brought about by Jesus' intercessions. And Jesus responds, verse 17, and I paraphrase, "Hang about. What about the other nine? Where are they? He would have known they also would have been healed. So why haven't they come back and praised and give thanks to God?" Me, God, Jesus, Jesus, God. Why haven't they come back and praised and given thanks to me? And it's worth pondering on that passage, which in essence is all about acknowledging and giving thanks to God. It's something that we as Christians should be doing regularly in the good and the not so good times, when life for various reasons can be a bit of a struggle. But it's not always the case. Sometimes we pray earnestly. We've prayed this week for people, for someone or something, and prayer is answered. Sometimes not. But the thing is, time passes and we forget. And this may have been the case with the nine. So absorbed in being healed, they forgot where that healing came from God. We often sing a song, I don't know if we sing it at this service, 10,000 Reasons, which says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It's from Psalm 103, which also carries these additional lines, "And forget not all his benefits." Sadly, often we do. We forget to give thanks and forget what the Lord has done for us. Not just in the good times, but the not so good times. And like St. Paul, that Samaritan, that outcast, he recognized the grace of God that was with him, for which he gave thanks and praise, and for that he received not just the healing of the body, but a spiritual healing, salvation. It was well with his soul. So what is the message of this story? It's not the healing of leprosy. It's not healing that sometimes we cry out for. Miracle as that can be, and it was for the Samaritans and the Jews, the gospel passage shows that God is with us in every situation we find ourselves in. Yes, in good times, but also in times of darkness. And the deeper truth is that Jesus Christ comes to us at our point of need, all of us. It's not just about healing, not just for Christians, but the whole message of salvation is for everybody. Now, there may be some here this morning that for various reasons may feel like that odd man or woman out. I mentioned earlier about letter writing being an act of remembering and connecting with our past. Well, we'll soon be celebrating communion together. I'd urge you to take that opportunity to connect with and remember him who reaches out to us in our deepest needs and give him your thanks and praise. And perhaps at this time to give thanks and praise for Liz, for who she was and who she was to us, and more importantly to God. Amen.